Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And it's awfully hard to find that. And it's awfully hard to find people who will be willing to love God and keep the truth and to obey Him. So that's the question that has to be for every one of us, you know, on a continuous basis. Too many people like to make decisions based upon emotions. And let me tell you, when you make decisions based upon emotions, that allows for a great deal of error. Because you have to go by the facts. You know, like that old television program?
Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
For us, it is the truth. Just the truth. And where do you start to really understand the truth? Well, it's with the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I heard a man on when I was doing some channel surfing on Sunday morning, and he has had a program on television for years and years and years, and his church is the Crystal Cathedral in Southern California. And he was talking about how, in his sermon, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And there are a lot of ministers who would like to talk about, you know, the last six commandments. They really don't like the first four, especially number one, number two, and number four. And since they reject that, they don't realize that they're also breaking number three. Do you know what the Ten Commandments are? Have you ever memorized them? Do you know them by heart? The long version? Well, you see, many people today, they want to have everything fast and abbreviated and short. And our mentality is getting down to Twittering, Facebook, and text messages. And everything coming in short, fast, and sweet. Therefore, people end up being ignorant because they don't study. They know nothing of things in depth. They're unwilling to spend the time that it takes to know the truth. So here in Church at Home, we're going to take the time to know the truth. So let's come to where the Ten Commandments were spoken by God in Exodus 20, and let's see what God says. And let's also understand that the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament was the one who became Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, I want to ask you a question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love God the Father? What did Jesus say we're supposed to do? Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Do you do that? Well, let's see what he said here in Exodus 20 when he was the Lord God of the Old Testament. Let's begin right in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, now all the 12 tribes of the children of Israel were right down at the base of Mount Sinai. God came down on Mount Sinai. Thundering, smoking, lightning, whirlwind, trumpet blowing long and loud and louder and louder and louder. Then all of a sudden there was a silence. And God spoke. And the very first thing that he said was this, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Now you see, God who made the heavens and earth, God who created man and woman, God who sustains the universe, the one who became Jesus Christ, upholds all things by the word of his power. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Do you believe that? He says, you shall have no other gods before me. A lot of people in the so-called Christian world today do not believe that. We'll see. We'll see what God says. And then we will see what people are doing in the name of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And their behavior is absolutely blasphemous. And yet, they're well-known leaders in the Christian evangelical movement today. And by the time we finish this series, you are going to be amazed and shocked. But also, you're going to have to evaluate and ask yourself, what is my conduct? Do I believe God? Do I believe the Word of God? Am I willing to love God? Do I want the love of God with no obedience? What did we just cover? Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. And the Apostle John wrote, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. If that is so, why do so many preachers take God's name in vain and say, Jesus did away with the law? You know what that really is? That is religious insanity of the highest order. And we will see where that leads to. And it's being carried out right today. Now notice second commandment. We just read on the last segment that what is that great religious leader that is coming to rule over the coming one world religion, what is one of the first things that he tells people to do? To make an image unto the beast. Right? And remember it says of that beast, looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. So what is the first thing that God tells his people after he tells them, you shall have no other gods before me? Then he says, verse 4, Exodus 20, you shall not make for yourselves any graven image or any likeness that is in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. So why do we have so many idols and statues and crosses within the so-called Christian world, or in the Orthodox Greek and Russian churches? They have icons and pictures that they bow down to and worship, and candles to the fire god, who is none other than the sun god, who is none other than ancient Nimrod, deified by men to stand in the place and against the true God. Now, if you haven't downloaded the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop, you need to read that. You need to understand where this Babylonian religion has come from that today masquerades as religion from God. So if there are any images there, God says, don't even make it. Catholic priests who are asked this, they say, well, we don't worship them. We only venerate them. Well, pray tell. What's the difference between worship and veneration? When God says, don't even make it. So the question really should be, why do you have them in your cathedrals? And why is St. Peter's Basilica a den of abominable idolatry from top to bottom, inside out? You look at any nation on the face of the earth, the more idolatry they have, the more terrible conditions. You know why? Because that's punishment for God for making the idols and worshiping the demons that are behind them. You shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Oprah Winfrey read that in the Bible, and she said that's when she gave up on the Bible, because God says he's jealous. That's when she went to the New Age religion. And she's worshipped as a goddess. And even one of the magazines have said recently that Oprah Winfrey has reached goddess status. how many women worship and idolize her and follow her New Age religion. And who's behind the New Age religion? None other than that ancient serpent, Satan the devil, who deceives the whole world. Why is God jealous? Because he's created heaven and earth. He made us living. And here people take gold and silver and wood and sticks and stupid things. Just like the Dalai Lama. Oh, he's got this little fat Buddha sitting on his desk when he was interviewed by a reporter showing around his quarters there. You know, the one who is the head of the Tibetan Buddhism, and he is called Your Holiness. Oh, he talks about compassion. Isn't that nice? He talks about patience. Isn't that wonderful? But he rejects God, and he's an idolater because he told the reporter, it showed him this little fat Buddha on his desk, and he laughed, a silly little laugh, and told the reporter, "You see that right there? That's my boss." No wonder God is jealous that men who would do such things, blaspheme his name, and claim that idols are gods. Now notice there's a penalty that comes. Now he continues saying, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. Now let's understand what this is telling us. Anyone who makes idols and worships idols hates the true God. Think on that. Now, I had one man write me and say he didn't understand that. When he looked around his house, having been formerly a good Catholic, he had to do a lot of throwing away of some idols, and we will see that that's what God says needs to be done. And let me tell you another thing. When Jesus Christ returns, you know, one of the things that he's going to do, he's going to make people destroy every one of their idols, every one of their cathedrals, every one of their temples. Beat them into small dust. Because Christ is going to rule, and the saints are going to rule, and there will be no idolatry. Now, for all of those of you who believe in the New Testament is the good gospel. Oh, the Old Testament is from that harsh God. Look at what he's talking about here right now, about a jealous God, not showing any mercy to those people who make idols. Whoa! How bad that is. But notice what he says. But showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Whoa! Isn't that close to what we started with? Where Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love God? Do you keep his commandments? Got to have both. Can't have one without the other. If you say you love God, don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. Truth isn't in you. And that's what John wrote in 1 John 2 and verse 3 and 4. Well, let's see what God says here about other gods. Let's come here to Exodus 23. Let's see what God instructed the children of Israel, because they were going to go in the land of the Canaanites, and God was going to fight the battle, destroy the enemy, and they were to inherit the land, the homes, the crops, and everything that was there. See, God rules in the nations of men. He raises one nation up and puts another one down. If there's a nation that set itself to do evil, God judges it. And if the nation that he has pronounced evil against repent and turn from their sins, like those at the city of Nineveh and the Assyrians during the prophecy of Jonah, the prophet, they repented, God held off his hand. Because God says, at any time that I seek to do good to a nation, if it sin, I will not do good to that nation that sins. But if the nation that I have determined to pronounce evil against it, if it turn from its iniquity, I will repent of the evil that I have proposed to do that. And you find that in Jeremiah 18. All right? Let's see what he told the Israelites then. And this is precisely what is going to happen when Christ takes over the earth and brings the kingdom of God to rule all nations. Verse 24, You shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them. You shall not do according to their works, but you shall surely tear them down, and surely you shall smash their standing images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's what God says. How about that? Notice, verse 32. Think of this. How can anyone who professes the name of Jesus Christ possibly violate this verse right here? Verse 32, Exodus 23. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. Let's see how he means business with this. He repeats this over and over and over and over again. Let's come here to Exodus 34. You see, all 12 tribes of Israel in the end time were the ones who were to bring the laws and commandments of God to this world. But they failed, just like ancient Israel failed. The Anglo-Saxon world and the democracies of Northwestern Europe are the modern descendants of the so-called lost 10 tribes of Israel. They were never lost. But historians don't want to recognize who we really are, because then that would change the political agenda for them, and that would change the minds of people in whom they should worship. And that would change the way that they viewed the things in the Old Testament and combined with the New Testament. Oh, no, we've got to hide that knowledge from them. That's why we have a download you can do right on our website, which is Judah Scepter, Joseph Birthright. You need to download that book and carefully study that book and understand who we are today. When you do, that's going to open your eyes and give you understanding like you have never understood before. Let me just say this. Down through history and time, there have been faithful ministers, faithful historians, faithful people that have preserved what is necessary so we know the background of the Bible, the history of the Bible, where we know how it's been preserved and how we have the true, faithful Word of God. Now, with that said, let's begin Exodus 34 and verse 12. Take heed to yourself. You got to watch out for yourself, because the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So whenever we have something that's a good idea, always remember, every way of a man or a woman is clean in their own eyes. You think you're right. That's not how to gauge it. What is God saying? That's the only way to know what is right. All right? Take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the people of the land where you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you. What do children of Israel do? They went after other gods. When God said over and over and over and over again, you shall not do so. Here's what they were to do when they went into the land. But their altars you shall destroy, their images you shall break, their groves you shall cut down, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice to their gods, and call you, and you eat his sacrifice. Isn't that precisely what happened? Isn't that what Balaam told Balak to do? Yes, and what happened? You read it in Numbers 25. You see, here the children were wandering in the wilderness for decades, and all they had to eat was manna. Manna, 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 manna. You could boil it, you could bake it, you could roast it, you could tumble it, you could turn it, you could make whatever you wanted to make out of it, but it's still manna. Balak hired him to curse. He got there to curse, and God made him bless. So can God make someone do something totally contrary to their will if it's God's desire to do so? Yes, indeed. Think about that now and how that reflects on the writing and the preserving of the Bible. If God can do that with a man dedicated to evil, Don't you think that God can inspire holy men with the Spirit of God who are dedicated to God, who love God, to write the truth? And yet, how many religious experts of the world say, oh, well, the Bible's just filled with myths. Really? If you've ever believed that argument, you believed a satanic lie. So what happened? Because Balaam couldn't curse, and Balak paid him to curse, Balaam gave him this counsel. He said, right at the outskirts of their camp, you go ahead and bring out a lot of people out there, and you set up an altar, and you bring the sacrifices. Because these people have been eating manna, and they're bored stiff with manna. They haven't had much meat, if any, just quail a couple times in 40 years, and maybe once in a while a little bit of a sacrifice. And you bring your sacrifices out there, and you bring all your gorgeous women, and you bring your music, and you bring your priest, and you bring your dancing people, and you let the wafting of these burnt offerings waft into the air and come over to the camp of the Israelites. Now, I'm dramatizing it a little bit here so that you understand what happens. And when that came over, guess what? The people said, oh, right in the presence of God while they were still on their way to the promised land. Let's go over there. We were invited over there. Wouldn't it be nice to have a piece of beef or some chicken or some lamb or some goat? Wouldn't it be nice to eat some bread instead of this manna? You know what happened? Because they violated what God said, 25,000 died. Because in the very presence of God, they would dare go do that. And you know who were the leading ones involved in it? The princes of Israel. So much for political leadership, right? Yes, indeed. Need to think about it. Let's ask the question. Does the God of truth mean what he says? Is the truth to us supposed to set us free? Yes, it is. So the same sin, as we see, right here, that the children of Israel did over and over and over again and caused them to go into captivity. And even Solomon, now think about Solomon. That's a great example in one way, but a pitiful case in another way. He was chosen by God to be allowed to build the temple from the plans that God gave to David, his father. And he built the temple. And God came and put his presence in it in a great display of a white cloud going into the temple. And the singers were singing, and the instruments of music were playing. And God demonstrated to the multitudes that were there that God put his presence into the temple. And then after that, God sent fire down to consume the sacrifice that Solomon had put there. And yet, in spite of all of this, in spite of the fact that God said, the king shall go to the priest and make him a copy of this law, which he is to read day and night, so he does not get exalted above his brethren, and he does not go after other gods, and he does not forsake me. What did Solomon do? He married 300 wives and 700 concubines and went after the gods of Moloch and Ashtaroth and burned his children in the fire to Moloch. And across the valley to the west, from the Temple Mount, was what became the Mount of Abominations, because there, the one who built the temple of God made altars and small temples for all of his pagan concubine wives and polluted Jerusalem so that Solomon was removed and the 10 tribes of Israel were taken from him. So that's a good example. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. He had God's word, but he violated it. Do you have God's word? Do you violate it? Are you going to be duped into following the coming one world religion? Or are you going to follow the word of God and be faithful to him? Now, we're going to continue on this because this is going to be a fantastic event that's coming upon this world. And we need to be prepared with the truth. We need to be armed with the word of God. And we need to have the Spirit of God to stand and not cave in to these wiles of the devil. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.